ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नश्प्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, Chapter 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Said, text number 7. Amantra Pandu Putransha Amantra Pandu Putransha Shaine Yodhava Sanyuta Shaine Yodhava Sanyuta Dvaipayanadi Virviprai Dvaipayanadi Virviprai Pujitai Paripujita Pujitai Paripujita Amantra Pandu Putransha Shaine Yodhava Sanyuta Dvaipaya Dvaipaya Nadi Virviprai Pujitai Pratipujitah Amantra Pandu Putransha Shaine Yodhava Sanyutah Vaipayanadi Virviprai Pujitai Pratipujitah
Amantra Pandu Putransha
Amantra Pandu Putransha
Shaine Yodhava Sanyutah
Means Amantra, inviting Pandu Putran, all the sons of Pandu, Cha, also Shaineya, Satyaki, Uddhava, Uddhava, Samyutaha, accompanied, Dvaipayana Adibihi. By the rishis like Vyasdev, Viprai, by the Brahmanas, Pujitai, being worshipped, Pratipujitaha, the Lord also reciprocated equally. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Shri Krishna then prepared for his departure. He invited the sons of Pandu. After having been worshipped by the Brahmanas, headed by Srila Vyasadeva, the Lord also reciprocated greetings. Translation responsibly. Lord Shri Krishna then prepared for his departure. He invited the sons of Pandu. After having been worshipped by the Brahmanas, headed by Srila Vyasadeva, the Lord also reciprocated greetings. Purport. Apparently, Lord Sri Krishna was a Kshatriya and was not worshipable by the Brahmanas. But the Brahmanas present there, headed by Srila Vyasadeva, all knew him to be the personality of Godhead, and therefore they worshipped him. The Lord reciprocated the greetings just to honor the social order that a Kshatriya is obedient to the orders of the Brahmanas. Although Lord Sri Krishna was always offered the respects due the Supreme Lord from all responsible quarters, the Lord never deviated from the customary usages between the four orders of society. The Lord purposely observed all the social customs so that others would follow him in the future. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutade Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dignataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyai Rucha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Kaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we are in chapter 8 of first canto. So in the first few chapters we saw how there was conversation between Narad Muni and Vyasadeva, and we saw how Srimad Bhagavatam that we read every day, Nityam Bhagavad Sevya, read and hear, so how it came about, how Vyasadeva was despondent and then Narad Muni advised him, and then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam and then he was fully satisfied. Now further from chapter 7 onwards we see there is an appearance of Krishna. So in these few chapters, these 3 or 4 chapters, we have a discussion of these pastimes of Krishna himself with his devotees in Hastinapur, and then in later another couple of chapters we'll see his dealings with devotees in Dwarka. So this is very interesting that how Lord himself is exhibiting these pastimes in this material world, and he has his devotees and associates, and he has various interactions with them. It's very interesting to know and hear about them. So he acts as their friend, he acts as their well-wisher, their guide. So in Bhagavad Gita also we see Krishna, Arjuna is acting as his friend, and then also he accepts Krishna as his guru, and then Krishna guides him, and Krishna tells him that this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, this Bhagavad Gyan, can only be understood by those who are friends of Krishna or devotees of Krishna. Savayam maya tejya yoga prokta puratana bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam yetaduktam. So this rahasya is revealed to those who are friendly towards Krishna and they are devotee of Krishna, they follow his instructions. So that's why Krishna has these various relationships. So in this material world also we see there are many relationships, and everyone wants some relation, and in that relation we want to serve actually. So everyone has this propensity to serve. And why do we want to serve in that relationship? What is the impetus? So in Nectar of Devotion, actually Srila Prabhupada writes in the preface that basically there is some kind of rasa, there is a kind of mellow. You derive a taste from that service. That is the impetus to have that relationship and then serve the other person. But the difference is between this mundane rasa and the spiritual rasa. Spiritual rasa is called the bhakti rasa. Bhakti rasa, and that's an actual devotion, is called bhakti rasamrit sindhu. So this bhakti rasa is also a taste when we do various services day after day, year after year. Why are we doing? We are getting some taste. We don't know exactly, but we are getting some taste out of it. That's why we continue. So same way in material world also, they people get some taste. They have some taste, some hope, I'll get better, more enjoyment out of this situation. So they continue. And when a person becomes hopeless, that, oh no, I'm not deriving any rasa in my life, he wants to commit suicide then. But mostly people are hopeful that no, okay, I'm suffering at the moment, I may not be deriving that much pleasure with this relationship, so maybe with another relationship within this material world, I may derive that rasa. So then people go after relationship, but parents are not satisfied with children, you know, husband's not satisfied with wife, because there is no, Krishna is not there in the picture, that's why. So the basic difference between the mundane rasa and the bhakti rasa is that the mundane rasa is temporary and bhakti rasa is eternal. And the word given there is amrita. Amrita means dead, amrita means which is eternal. And amrita also means nectar. So this bhakti rasa is actually nectarian. In other rasas, we actually don't derive any pleasure. It's just like a drop. If someone is very thirsty and you give him, okay, here's a glass of, there's some liquid in there. So how much liquid is there? There's maybe one drop. And there is one drop and it will not satisfy you, rather it will agitate you more. So please take and be enthusiastic. So that's very hard. But for bhakti rasa, it's like I give you a cup of nectar and you can take as much as you like. You won't be satiated and at every step you will be, you will feel more blissful. चेतोदर्पण मार्जनम बाबा महादावाग्नि निर्वापनम शेया कैरव चंद्रिका विकरणम विद्यावधु दीनम आनंदम बुद्धिवर्णम प्रतिपदम पूर्णम एत स्वादम. At every step, प्रतिपदम, you derive more pleasure at every step. So this is bhakti rasa. So that is real service. Then when we render service to Krishna, then we can actually derive real taste. So we should strive for that with full strength and effort like that. So we shouldn't be discouraged that there are so many anarthas and not feeling that much taste that I felt initially that Mahaprabhu gave the initial enthusiasm. We should just keep going and Krishna will give us the taste, because it's said like gold. As spirits, souls, we are part of Krishna, we are meant to enjoy that rasa. So the real gold may be covered with some impurities, but Krishna for his devotees, he takes charge and he puts that gold in the fire of devotional service. So in that fire, sometimes we feel heat and, you know, we won't enjoy that much. But when gold is put in the fire, then the impurities go away and it becomes the real pure gold. So then we attain the stage of Uttama Bhakti. Anyamilashita Shunyam Gyan Karma Adyanavitam Anukulyana Krishna Anushirvanam Bhakti Uttama. So then we get rid of all the tinges, these contaminations of our tendency for fruitive activity. We want some result, conclusive result for ourselves, and you know, we want to speculate our own philosophy, own methods of action. So we'll get rid of all these contaminations just by carefully performing our day-to-day devotional activities. So here Krishna is here it is said that when Krishna is about to leave, now he Krishna has protected the Pandavas from the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, and then he wanted to go back to Dwarka. So that's what's the situation at the moment, and after a few verses we'll see how Kunti Maharani will pray to him that please you must not go, and Yudhishthira Maharaj also would say you shouldn't go, and then he would stay some more time, few more months, and then finally he would leave. So here he's going now, he's being worshipped by the Brahmanas. So in Purport, Prabhupada writes that apparently Lord Sri Krishna was a Kshatriya. Now Krishna was born in the prison house in Mathura, as we know. His father was Vasudev, he was a king, Kshatriya. So he's born as a Kshatriya, and then he was transferred to Gokul, and there he was acting as son of Nanda Maharaj, who is a Vaishya. He is head of the Vaishya community in that area. And Vaishyas, as we know, in Bhagavad Gita it says, there is Krishi Gorakshavanijam Vaishya Karma Sabhavajam. So, what are the duties of a Vaishya? They do farming, cow protection, and business. So, here Krishna is acting as a Vaishya, as a cowherd boy from childhood. He would go. Initially, when he was younger, he couldn't be given charge of big cows, so he would go with small calves. So then, when his age was just right that he could take cows, but you know, parents won't allow him. He said, "You just take small calves and let you know to the forest." So one day, Krishna was like, we have Ashtakaliya Leela in Vrindavan. So in the morning, Mother Yashoda will wake him up, and then he would, you know, milk the cows and so on, then go to the forest with the cows. So now he wanted to take charge of the cows, bigger cows, but they wouldn't give him. So one day Mother Yashoda went to wake him up, and he had the, you know, bed sheet on his face, and he wouldn't wake up. Mother Yashoda, "Wake up, wake up." So he said, no, I want to take cows, you know. So that's why he was a little upset. Then slowly, then later, he started taking cows as well. So there he is acting as a Vaishya, as a cowherd boy. So apparently, so now who is, what's his actual position? Is he a Kshatriya? Is he a Vaishya? So what's his actual position? So this is actually, Krishna acts in such beautiful ways that even atheists, they would have reasons not to believe in Krishna. So we see later when Maharaj Yudhishthira arranged a Rajasuya sacrifice, Rajasuya Yagya, there Krishna was present and all the Pandavas were present. So there was a question, okay, who we should worship first? So one of the Pandavas, Sahadeva, he said, okay, we should worship Krishna first, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then immediately Shishupala, who was one of the biggest atheists, demons, he got up and said, how can you say that you should worship Krishna first? We don't know which class he belongs to. Is he a Kshatriya? Is he a Vaishya? And he has no good qualities like that. So he had good reasons actually, you know. So Krishna gives good reason even for atheists. If you want to forget him, if, you know, knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness comes from Krishna. So he gives very good reasons for atheists to not to believe in him, that he is God. So then actually Srila Prabhupada writes in purport, that's in that past time which is mentioned in 10th canto, that that when Shishupal was criticizing Krishna, actually he was praising him. When he said, oh, which class, we don't know which class he belongs to. So that's actually true. Krishna doesn't belong to any class. So he is above this Varnashram system. He is transcendental to the Varnashram system. When he said he had, you know, no qualities, so that means that he has no material qualities. Because he has nothing to do with material world. He has all spiritual qualities. As we know in Nectar of Devotion, there are 64 qualities of Krishna given. He has actually unlimited qualities and unlimited pastimes, just as the main ones are given there. In the same way, whatever actually Krishna does, materially it may look strange and not under the system of society, but is actually very glorious. When Arjuna, Bhima and Krishna went to defeat Jarasandha in a wrestling match, so Jarasandha had to choose with, you know, to whom he would fight. So he rejected Arjuna, he's younger and, you know, not equal in fight. And then he said, Krishna, you know, he's a coward. he ran away. He had defeated actually Jarasandha in 17 times, but, or maybe 16 times. And last time he just ran because he had to get that letter from Rukmini. He had to hear from the Brahmana. But Jarasandha had a reason. See, he just went. For a Kshatriya, actually, it's a great dishonor to show your back in a battlefield. But Krishna, he can do anything. And he is actually glorified for that. So he's actually still in Gujarat, the state. I think he's worshipped as Ranchorji. There are temples. So Rana means the battlefield. Chor means you're leaving that. So he left and showed his back, which is like, this is worse than, you should actually, Kshatriya is, I mean, for a Kshatriya it's better to die rather than run away. But he did that. So it doesn't matter for him. And then now he's glorified for that. Devotees are worshipping him as Ranchorji. So this is Krishna actually. There is no work actually for him, no prescribed duty for him. In third chapter in Bhagavad Gita says, Name Parthasti Kartavyam Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana Nana Vaptam Avaptavyam Varpaye Chakarmani, that in 3 worlds there is no prescribed duty for me. You know? But still he works. Yadi Yayamna Varte Jatu Karmani Dindita Mam Vartman Vartante Manusha Patsarvasha, that I still work because, as in, to set an example, because people would follow me. That's why, because he's like a leader, so he sets an example. He acts according to this Varnashram system just to set an example. But every now and then he would do something totally above, against the Varnashram system, just to show his position as God. So we have to follow him. In the sense, we have to follow his instructions. We can't follow those contradictions. So we just have to follow his, when he's setting the example as a perfect Vaishya, perfect Kshatriya, like that. And same for devotees, initially, like in ISKCON also, we are following ashram system, Varna, yeah, somewhat. And so, in Bhagavad Gita it says the swadharma, what is our specific duty? According to our nature, how should we act? So there are 2 types of swadharmas. So one in the conditioned state and one in the liberated state. So in conditioned state, when we are conditioned by the 3 modes of nature, so Varnashram system basically gives a stepping stone. So you can elevate actually. So Brahmachari, Ashram, Grahastha, Ashram, we are following all this system of Krishna to elevate to Krishna consciousness. And once we are in liberated stage, then Also, advanced devotees still externally follow the Varnashram system. To set an example, so Krishna himself sets an example. Here, Prabhupada says, the Lord purposely observed all these social customs so that others would follow him in the future. So he himself does it, and then the devotees, his pure devotees, they also do. They follow Varnashram system very nicely. So same in third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, example is given of Janak Maharaj, who is father of Mother Sita. We recently had Lord Ram's appearance day, and we heard about Lord Ram and Sita Devi. So his Sita Devi's father, Janak Maharaj, his example is given in Bhagavad Gita. Karmanevi Sansiddhi Maastita Janakadeya Lok Sangramaya Evapi Sampashyan Kartum Arasi. So devotees, people like Janak Maharaj, he is one of the Mahajans also. So he set such a good example by following these prescribed duties very nicely, and he got the perfection of life. So there is another story given, very interesting. How Janak Maharaj was born. He was in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's given. Now there was a king, Nimi. He was son of Ikshvaku, and he wanted to do a sacrifice, big sacrifice, and he requested Vasishta to be the chief priest. And Vasishta said, "Oh, actually, I'm already being invited by Indra to do in the same position as chief priest. So let me go there first, then I'll come back and perform in your sacrifice." So he left, and Nimi thought, this life is actually very short. I can't waste time and just wait for him. So he just appointed other priests and he started the sacrifice. And meanwhile, when Vasishta came, he was very angry. And he said, that I curse you. You couldn't, this is a very offensive situation. You offended me. I'll curse you that your body will fall down and you'll die. And then Nimi Maharaj also got angry. He counter-cursed, you may also die. So then, anyway, both of them left the body, and Vasishtha Muni was again born. And the priests present there, they had this body of Nimi. And Nimi, he didn't want to take another material body. He said, material body is... when you get a material body, there is always distress, lamentation and fear. And he gave an example of a fish, that in our material life we are just like a fish. A fish is actually always in fear of death. So when we see fishes, we see nicely swimming around. But these scriptures actually give the consciousness of the creature. So no scientist can study. They can't understand what are the feelings of a fish. But here in these scriptures we can understand. So fish is always in fear. So same way in material situation, this is our life. We are always in fear, or we are lamenting for something which we have lost. We are hankering for something which we want. Some distress. Three types of distresses, four problems, birth, death, disease, old age, and three other problems. So many problems are there. So he didn't want to take a material body. So then the priests churned his body, and then Janak Maharaj was born. And he proved, so his father was a great devotee and he was a devotee. And he proved that how, just by following our prescribed duties very nicely, these duties of karma, we can actually get perfection. So devotees actually prove that you follow this Varnashram system, but main goal is Krishna consciousness. So it doesn't matter how you are, where you are born, it basically your activities, what you are performing. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York, when he was at the matchless gift store, he used to conduct daily morning classes. But morning classes were very short because some of the disciples had to go for work. So every day he hadn't printed his own Bhagavad Gita as it is yet. So he used to read translations from Radha Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. He said his translations are 90% correct. So he used to read from that. But he wanted his Bhagavad Gita as it is printed soon. So anyway, so one day he came down with a different kind of a book. It was, you know, a big red book. And he said, oh, now you are advanced enough. Today I will read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they had not even heard about it. What's this? You know. And anyway, he started reciting story of Sanatana Goswami. And actually that story actually proves how a devotee, doesn't matter which situation he is in, if he is fully devoted to Lord, he attains perfection. So Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami were in the government of Nawab, the Muslim ruler, and they wanted to leave, they wanted to get retired. So Rupa Goswami easily got retirement. He got so much gold coins to fill a large boat, and he retired. But Sanatana Goswami, he couldn't get very easily. You know, he took a sick leave. He said, I'm sick. Took a sick leave, but he wasn't sick. He used to employ some brahmanas. He used to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from them. And then one day the Nawab sent his physician. And physicians told him he's perfectly fine, healthy. So then Nawab one day just turned up himself and he said, you are cheating me, why are you not come and work, I need you. So he just bluntly said, no, I want to spend my time in reading Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, I won't work. So then he imprisoned him, and then later the story continues how he got out of the jail by bribing the jail keeper, and then he went. And finally he reached Varanasi, where he met, when he reached the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, where Mahaprabhu was staying. And Mahaprabhu immediately said, go to Chandrasekhar Acharya, go outside, there is a devotee, you bring him in. And when Chandrasekhar Acharya went outside, he didn't see a devotee, he just saw like a Muslim fakir, like a, a Muslim beggar. He had a beard, his looks were like a Muslim, because he was working under Muslim rule. So because they both, these brothers were working for Muslims, they were, although they were born in a Brahmana family, but they were rejected. They said no, it was very strict at that time. So then Chandrasekhar Acharya went inside and he said, there is no devotee. He said, was there anyone at all? And he said, yeah, there was one person. He said, yeah. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went outside and he saw the Sanatana Goswami was there, his pure devotee. He embraced him. And then he gave his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. So there we see that although he was totally rejected by the society of this so-called Varnashrama system was there in the society, and they rejected him that he is not acting as a Brahmana. He is associating with Malaysians, so he is rejected from this Varnashrama society. But still Lord accepted him because of his devotion, because of his bhakti. So he had full bhakti. So this proves that how a devotee, although he is in any situation, if he takes shelter of Lord, and holy names of Lord, pastimes of Lord, Lord's devotees, if he takes shelter of these real soldiers, not the fallible soldiers, then he is assured of success. So in material world, if we want enjoyment, it's a combo pack. It says everyone wants just enjoyment, material enjoyment. But actually, material enjoyment doesn't come alone. It's like it is said, material enjoyment and material distress, they are two sides of a coin. Okay? So if you accept a coin, you can't say, oh, just give me one side. So if you go to a bank and there's a teller, you say, okay, give me these many coins, but only give me the head side. Tail side you can keep. Is it possible? It's not possible. So if you accept the coin, means there's two sides. So same, if you want material enjoyment, means that the material distress is just is about to come, like that. But people don't want material distress, they just want the good side of the material world, the so-called good side. Actually, there is no good side in the world. There is like the example, the Ardha Kukoti Nyaya, that the hen gives the eggs from one side and you have to feed the hen from one side. But you just want the good side, you get the eggs, make good business. But to feed, it's a big expense. You don't want to do that. But that doesn't happen. So if we understand this, the real nature of material world, that we can't actually enjoy in this material world, then we can actually take full shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and holy names of Lord. Then this understanding that we, you know, we cannot enjoy, so better just give it up completely. Why to just try? Okay, little bit I'll take. So then little bit distress is also there. So better just completely reject it and then fully devote to this Srimad Bhagavatam and this knowledge and this practice of bhakti. And actually, we don't have to wait, like, okay, we have to wait to get full success. Success is actually just there. It's like, for example, we can break up the whole day, or like when we are chanting, as His great Bhurijan Prabhu says, who is coming soon, that we break up, you know, we don't have to wait. Success means 16 rounds have chanted perfectly. But we don't have to wait till the end of 16 rounds and then, you know, have this guilty feeling of whole day that, oh, I didn't chant nicely today, no, no. So, but success is just there, actually, Bhurijan Prabhu says, you just chant one mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, this was success, okay, I could hear that. The same way, you can keep repeating that, like that. Same with any service, okay, you're doing some service, okay, for this half an hour, I'll try to focus, and then you think back, okay, I did this, I did that part correctly, that part wasn't right. So like that. So if we are just collecting these successes, small successes in the, throughout the day, so then our life becomes successful. So we can identify, okay, this thing I didn't do correctly, you know, I could have acted better and interacted better way with that devotee. So then we can improve on our mistakes, and the successes are always there, we can keep improving the quality like that. So that way we have success, and then we can become actually an associate of Krishna, like these Pandavas. Example is given here, Pandavas, residents of Dwarka, they are just eternal associates of Krishna. So we have to practice to become an associate of Krishna, and in that association you just have to render service basically. So Pandavas, we see, they are eternal associates. Whichever universe Krishna goes in, there are Pandavas associating with him. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, when Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then also Pandavas came. There was these five brothers who were sons of Bhavananda Rai, and there was Ramananda Rai, he was considered to be Arjuna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, these five sons are very dear to me. So that way we can become actually constant eternal associate of Krishna just by following this bhakti process. So Krishna is beyond Varnashrama system, and we follow he still follows Varnashrama, just to set an example. And same as devotees, we follow our duties according to our Varnashrama with the goal of developing love for Krishna, and we can try to improve the quality, first the quantity, then quality, side by side as well. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. think so. He's asking what are the hurdles that discourage us for performing bhakti? Are these only anarthas or something else? So basically, the philosophy of this Bhagavad Tattva or Bhagavad Gyan is basically we have to develop this higher taste. So because we have this lower taste and we want to engage in lower taste, we have tendency to engage in lower taste, and that gives us failure. So failure is like a setback. So we expect, our expectations are different. So in performing these spiritual activities, we expect something. If we expect something which is the only thing to expect while doing service is actually pleasure of Krishna. And if we are doing our best, so there are two things actually. If one has this attitude, I was reading yesterday, so there is one amazing attitude that if we have that, then we'll always be blissful. So the attitude is that we try our best, that we are trying our best to please Krishna, and then whatever comes, we, you know, success or failure. In spiritual world, there is no success or failure. Duality is only one thing. There is always success. So materially it may look, oh, I didn't succeed. But actually if we are just trying to please Krishna with our activity, so then actually that's a success already. And simultaneously, we don't have to be proud. Simultaneously we feel, actually I don't deserve this association of Krishna or this high platform. So we simultaneously consider our fallen position, our limited position, that we are so small actually. What can we do? We are just 1/10,000th tip of a hair. So we simultaneously understand that we are small, plus we try our best. So then we won't be discouraged. If we perform something and externally it looks we failed, we should think, yeah, of course, I'm so small, but I tried my best and Lord will be happy with me. And a devotee has actually full faith. That's one of the six items of surrender. He has full faith that Lord will protect me. He will maintain me like that. So more and more surrender, if we have more and more surrender to Krishna, then there won't be any hurdle. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanandi.